Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that you were able to find time in your schedule to spend these next few minutes with me as we go into the Word of God. And by the Lord's leading, I've been sharing for the last number of broadcasts from passages found in the book of Judges. And as I made reference to, a few broadcasts ago, there are some that say, well, yeah, I don't spend time in the Old Testament. We are New Testament believers, and we just concentrate on what Paul tells the church in his epistles. But if we are just focusing on the New Testament, there are some passages that link us to the exhortation and the examples that are in the Old Testament for our instruction. God is the same God. We are in a dispensation of grace, but the Lord changes not. His character, His nature, His principles are unchanging. And it's true, God dealt differently under the Old Covenant. The scriptures are very clear that that Old Covenant, that Old Testament, was given as a schoolmaster to show us that man was incapable of keeping the righteous law of God. And that's why Jesus came to make those who would believe upon Him righteous before the Lord. He bore our iniquities. He suffered the penalty of our sin nature, and by faith in Him, we then can be born into the family of God. And under this new, better covenant with better promises, there is grace that is extended. But beloved, this is a period of grace that we are living in these ever since the church was birthed on the day of Pentecost. But we don't know how much longer mankind has to come into the ark of safety. There is a period of time where people are given invitation. It says Noah was a preacher of righteousness, but apparently there were very few that heard his message because only 8 people were saved upon that ark before the world was destroyed by that great flood. And there are more and more scientific geological evidences of the fact there indeed was a worldwide flood, many of the legends of various peoples. And so the atheists, the scoffers will say, oh, that's just a fairy tale, just the myths out of the Bible. Beloved, science is proving that the Bible is correct. So having shared all that, let me just give a couple passages in Scripture that tell us we need to hear what the Old Testament is telling us. 1 Corinthians the 10th chapter, verse 11 says, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. The things, and of course, just before that, he was referencing Israel and mentioning that in the wilderness they tempted Christ, they were destroyed of serpents. And he goes on in verse 10, says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 10 of 11 says, all this happened unto them as examples, and we should profit by how God dealt with them. And then Romans, the 15th chapter, verse 4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So let's take a very brief review as to the foundation I shared in previous broadcasts on God's end time Gideon's band, if you will, because we want to apply the lessons that are outlined in the book of Judges 6 through 8. We want to see spiritual application for us today. God's principles apply to today's church. And what do we see? That the God's people had sinned. They experienced 7 years, God's number of completion, if you will, of total impoverishment by the enemy. The Midianites, the Amalekites, children of the east came up against them, destroyed their crops. They were in a bad place. Finally, they called out to God in prayer. That's just like America. You know, after 9/11, for a very, very brief period of time, our churches were filled. People were traumatized by what had occurred, and they were seeking God. Well, needless to say, time has passed, and we've quickly forgot that lesson. However, what we see happening in the world today, in our own nation, terror on our shores, tremendous geophysical events, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, drought. Is there any question God is trying to get our attention? So what did Israel do? They cried out to God. A prophet of the Lord was sent to them. This is in chapter 6 of Judges. And he said, look at what I did for you, my people. I'm just paraphrasing. I brought you out of Egypt, delivered you from bondage. Don't be afraid of the gods of the Amorites. Beloved, as Christians, we don't need to be afraid of the power of the New World Order, the things that the enemy is doing to set up his briefly established kingdom, which is coming, where the Antichrist will emerge. We're not to fear those things, but he says, ye have not obeyed my voice. And we see great apostasy occurring in mainline Christian denominations. We see a tolerance of sin. We have this attitude, in order to be liberal and what we call loving, we condone sin, lifestyles that the Bible condemns. There is a lukewarmness. There's no longer a desire to walk close to God, to seek God, to pray. Churches, you know, years when I grew up, that you'd always have a Sunday night service. Very few churches have that anymore, because why? People are interested. I've been in a couple local churches in the last few years, since I personally I'm not pastoring at this point, and they would have once a month prayer meeting, say on Sunday evening, and they basically discontinued that because people weren't interested. Well, beloved, God knows how to get our attention, and so let's now look at what happened as an example to us of God's people under the intense persecution of the enemy. They were hiding in caves and dens. Gideon himself was threshing wheat in a wine press, which is not a place that you would normally do this. A prophet is sent to Israel, and he said, you've not obeyed my voice. Then an angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and says, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And God is speaking to his people today. There are a remnant. There is a group of people who will not bow their knee to Baal. There are those who are going to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's becoming increasingly unpopular to do that. Persecution is coming to the Christian segment of society. It's happened certainly in other nations. Other Christians are losing their lives. They're facing martyrdom. And we may even experience it in this country, beloved. God has been gracious to us. We've had great liberty. We've had blessings of material prosperity, such as even the poor of us are better off than the poor in the other nations of the world. So to whom much has been given, much is required. So let's see what happened. Here Gideon says, well, God, if you're with us, why is all of this happening? Well, the Lord doesn't specifically answer him, because the word of the Lord through the prophet said, you've not obeyed my voice, speaking of God's people. And he basically says in verse 14, to Gideon, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And then he proceeds, as Moses did, to make excuses, just like you and I do. Lord, get somebody else. I'm not really qualified. I can't speak very well. I'm not a leader. I can't do that. We have all sorts of opposition to God's call on our lives in our flesh. But beloved, it's not our flesh that is going to respond. The Spirit of the Lord within us says yes to him. Like Paul said, the Lord was glorified in his weaknesses. God's strength was made perfect in Paul's weakness, the mighty man of God that Paul was. And he gloried in infirmities, in reproaches. And beloved, that's what we can do. God takes the weak things of the world, the foolish things, to confound the wise and the mighty. And so God overrides Gideon's objections, and he says, I have a call on your life. There are two affirmations and two objections found found in verses 12 through 16 of that sixth chapter. One is that God says, I'm going to be with you, just like he tells us, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And he calls Gideon a man of strength. God sees what we don't. That Hebrew, Gibor Hayil, it refers to valor and a probable sense of rank. He is subjecting, why are we in such a mess? Where are all God's miracles? Well, it's because there has been sin in the camp of the Lord. There has been sin and disobedience and rebellion in the children of Israel. And beloved, the same is true with us today. All you have to do is say, well, that's all the Old Testament. Look at the book of Revelation. God is speaking to the New Testament church. And in most every case, he had rebuke. He had criticism. They grew lukewarm. They were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. If the Lord be for us, why all this ministry? Beloved, you and I are partakers of our national sins, even as the righteous, and we bear the consequences. Also, many of us have an evil heart of unbelief. We are responsible for the sins of this nation to the extent that we are part of it, and we need to intercede as Daniel did and Moses did. They didn't sin, but they called out to God in behalf of their people, in behalf of their nation, if you will, and God heard. And that is what God is asking of you and I, to weep between the porch and the altar, to fast as God would lead you, to seek God, to call out to him for revival in this nation. Beloved, it's not too late. As I shared on a previous broadcast, we were talking, some friends and I, and if God could, in 40 days, God was going to wipe out Nineveh. He sent a prophet, Jonah, and in 40 days' time, as wicked as they were, as atheistic and unbelieving, they repented, and God withheld judgment for almost 40 years, another generation, and then Nineveh was destroyed. So, beloved, it's not hopeless. Let us unite our hearts in prayer and faith and believe for the glory of God to be revealed yet. Praise God. Well, my time is gone and I still have yet much to share. We're just getting into this message, and I trust you'll be able to be with me next time as we go further into the Word of God. I love you. The announcer will give our contact information. If you have prayer needs, won't you write? This is a personal ministry for you. The joy of my life is to be able to minister to my USAM spiritual family and those who write in. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Amen. God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,